Welcome to the Hope United podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today.
I'm so excited for what God is doing and the testimonies that are coming out of this house. We're just talking about some of the good things that God is doing, some of the up-and-coming things that God is about to do. So I'm excited. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm excited today about what God is doing. If we just tap into what God is doing, God is always up to something. How many believe that? God is always up to something. I want to invite my good friend, Minister Andrew Holmes, to the stage today. Please give him a big hope welcome. Amen. I told you, Andrew, if you worshiped with us, they would like you. For those that don't know, Andrew, he comes from South Florida. He's a husband. He's a father of two beautiful daughters. They're just absolutely picture perfect. If you look on their Instagram feed, you will like all of
them. It's all their mother, all though. It's not. It had nothing to do with me.
He serves in full-time ministry at 4Kids, overseeing church engagement. And Andrew works with churches all across South Florida to help the foster care crisis. It's a crisis going on that not a lot of people realize is going on. Some people do. But Andrew has a tremendous call to empower and encourage and bring the church together to bring an end to foster care. Wow, that's a huge thing. Can we give God a big hand? I love people with big visions to do big things for the kingdom of God. Let's pray before we get started. God, I thank you, Lord, for what you want to say today. God, stir our hearts to hear something, God, that will change us, that will shape us, that will challenge us and encourage us today. We thank you, Father, for your word that always illuminates our journey. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this is a huge, huge vision that every time we get together, you're talking about it, and it's so exciting. Not only do we both love to worship, but we love the family, and we love the next generation, and we love the kids. And so God just put a tremendous burden on your heart with kids. Could you just tell us a little bit about yourself, tell us a little bit about this burden, and welcome to the stage.
Man, it's Hope, it's so good to be with you today. I mean, like, as Pastor Jarl said, like, a lot of my Sundays go to different churches in the South Florida area. And when I came here today, and as I'm spending time with y'all, I feel like I'm home, man. And that's because of the Spirit of God that's in each and every one of you. So I'm excited to be with you. I'm excited to share. And hearing that vision out loud again and again, it always makes me go like, whoa, that's big. Did I miss it, God? You know? But I know that every time in Scripture that God was about to do something amazing, the vision often scared the one he was going to use or the ones that he uses. My heart for foster care, it really started to develop when I worked for Broward Sheriff's Office. And what I did for them years ago was child protection. So I was the guy that would go on these investigations and work with families and investigate to see whether or not the families were able to care for their children in a safe way. And sometimes I had the unfortunate task of removing the children out of the home and putting them into foster care. Now, there's a lot there. There's a lot of stories there. But here's one thing that I noticed, that every time that I would have to remove a child, I never not once made one enemy. I don't think I've ever shared that with you. I never not once had an angry person. I never not once had someone come after me or my family, which is common in that space. And the only reason I attribute that is because I did it in partnership with the Spirit of God. Often, and I don't even know if I can frame this out correctly, but oftentimes, you know, when somebody, imagine all of you have children, somebody taking your child and placing them into foster care, not knowing what's going to happen. It is hard, and I'm compassionate. I can understand that. But every time that I did it and I sought the Lord as I did it, I would hear, Andrew, thank you. I needed this break. I needed this space to get my life together so that I can be a better parent to my child. And that's not because I'm this great guy. That's not because of any, that's because of the Spirit of God that is the Spirit of adoption and is the Spirit of reconciliation. So that's just a little bit about my passion for the foster care space. As you know, father, worshiper, been in church forever. You know, it's all a part of the package.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, if it wasn't for God's redemptive power, none of us would be here today. And there's no exception to that rule, no exclusion to that rule. We're all here and a product of God's grace. Amen. His love, his mercy, him finding us where we are, picking us up, cleaning us off, yeah, and adopting us into his family. Yes. And so that's kind of what we're talking about, is this whole concept of God and his nature and part of what he does, yeah, that is this Spirit and this concept of adoption. Yeah. That's that you cannot separate God without this concept of adoption. Yeah. Like he, you know, from the very beginning, he finds a people, he finds a person, he says, I want you to be my special possession. Yes. You know? Yes. I want you to be my family. So I love this part of God, and it just keeps on playing out. In Scripture, we can even see in Ephesians 1:5, it said God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. This is something that brings God so much joy, is this spirit of I want to bring you from whatever brokenness you are in, and I want to bring you in, yeah, to me. Yeah. I want to bring you into my family as my special possession. I want to call you son. Yes. I want to call you daughter. And so that's so much a part of the heart of God, you know, adoption, the, yeah, spirit of adoption.
It truly is incredible, and I think to understand the spirit of adoption, there's a couple concepts that just leap out to me, right, about how God views adoption. If you have children, you know, biological children, you don't really get the chance to pick. You know, you can pray for them. You can pray that God will, you know, make them tall, make them strong. You know, but you don't really get to say, I selected this one to be my child. That's not a part of the biological process. But in adoption, I get excited about this. Sorry. If I break the chair, please excuse me. with adoption, God Almighty, who created all things exist because of him. In making you, not only did he create you and knows everything about you and formed you in your mother's womb, he said, I select you to be mine. There's no happenstance with God. You are an on-purpose individual. Everything that makes you, you, God put in you. That is adoption. That type of intention, that type of heart that a father would have. To also understand adoption, you have to understand the spirit of an orphan. The spirit of an orphan. An orphan doesn't know its identity. An orphan doesn't feel connected to a parental source or a parental being. An orphan oftentimes has these identity issues. And that speaks a lot to some of the things that we're dealing with in our nation and in our state and in our cities. God, in the spirit of adoption, says, I'm eradicating you feeling like you're abandoned, you're neglected, you're alone. And I'm giving you my characteristics. I've made you in my image. I've made you in my likeness. I love the songs that we were singing. I didn't even realize the bridge of that third song was Breathe. You know, I didn't even realize. As he was singing, I'm like, whoa, yes. Like, God, I didn't even know you were doing that. But I had this incredible visual, right, of like the breath of God that makes you his own. And God fashioning Adam in the garden. Putting this lump of dirt together, forming him, forming the limbs and the eyes and the nose. And God's concept is himself. He's making Adam out of the dirt, out of the dirt, out of the yuck. He's making this beautiful creature. And the one thing that separates Adam from all the other creatures in Genesis is that the breath of God blew into the nostrils of that piece of dirt and made it something that looks like God, that sounds like God, that thinks like God. That is, in my opinion, the spirit of adoption, and that's what God is releasing over our region.
That's so good. You know, Romans 8:15 says, the spirit you received, man, when we come to Christ, the spirit that you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. How many people are living in fear right now? The spirit that you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Man, what a powerful term. You know, when Jesus came to earth, he came to earth giving us this concept of Father and even Abba, Father, you know, Daddy God. And so this identity, this connection with God that wasn't there before, and it's like God wants you as his special possession. He wants you to be part of his family. So what is the spirit of adoption? When we're talking about this, what does that mean to you?
To me, it really means that you understand that God is your Father. Right? You really understand that he chose you. You know, we read in Ephesians, predestined, right? We are literally the reflection of God's people, us as the church, us who know Jesus Christ. We are the reflection to the world of what God looks like and who he is. So this concept of the spirit of adoption, I really think, you know, in the way that my mind works is I try to simplify everything. Sometimes that's good. If music, it's not that good when you try to simplify all those complicated chords and say it doesn't work out too well. But I try to simplify things. Just like all of the things that I believe people struggle with, all of the, when you're disconnected from the spirit of adoption, when you're disconnected from God, you're living in an orphan mindset. You're living constantly wounded. You're living with a victim mentality. You're living in fear. You're living in anxiety. It's not just the child, the physical orphan child that the orphan spirit is pertaining to. An orphan spirit deals with anything that is a violation of your identity of God, with God, from God, to God. So this, the meaning of the spirit of adoption, I really believe, is to know fully your sonship, who you are. And in that is limitless possibilities. And here's the thing. I don't know if you guys have been seeing what's going on in the world, but people are looking for answers. We're looking for a leader in government. Oh, they failed us. We're looking for another leader. Oh, they failed us. We're looking for money. We got this. That failed us. Because the real answer is to know that you are a child of the living God. And as a child of the living God, you carry the solutions and the answers to the brokenness of this world. That, my friends, my family, that is the spirit of adoption. Man, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get all.
So take me here a little bit, because you work in the foster care system, but yet what you're saying is it's a ministry. Absolutely. You say this is a ministry of foster care. The way that you're doing it and the calling that God has put on your life. How do you connect those two concepts, foster care and ministry?
Absolutely. James 1:27, pure, undefiled religion is to care for the widows and the orphans in their times of distress and to keep yourself unspotted before the world. A central piece of that scripture, right, with James, the brother of Jesus, is saying this to other Jewish-minded people. This is his message to the Jewish people of the day. Jewish people, there's this passion. I don't know if anyone has any Jewish friends, or maybe some of you are Jewish, but every Jewish person I've known, as an anecdotal, they might not know God. They might not be practicing their faith. They may not be going to temple. But when you talk about God, when you talk about religion, they're like, yes, I am religious. I do this. I pray. I do these things because of the zeal for the Lord. So in this Jewish culture, you have this natural inherent zeal for the Lord. And James, the brother of Jesus, is saying, hey, a lot of you are doing religious things that you think are good, but here are the things to be religious at. Care for the widows, care for the orphans, and keep yourself unspotted. In the first century church, out of the book of Acts, the first expression of Christianity, think about this. Let's go back thousands of years. Jesus comes, he lives, he dies, he's raised again. He goes back to heaven, he gives us his spirit. The apostles now are doing different ministries. And now we are believers in the first century church in Roman culture. And a part of the Roman culture was if you had a child that you didn't like, if you had a child that you rejected, which is a part of the orphan spirit, if you have a child that you don't want, it was customary of the time to leave them on the highways. On those main roads that people would travel from city to city, it was customary to leave them, and these kids would consequently take up housing in the woods, in the wild. But there was a group of people that said, this is unacceptable. Although culture is saying, this is okay, the culture of Jesus Christ says, this is not okay. The first century church, as followers and passionate about the Lord and being filled with the Holy Spirit, their response to this cultural issue was to take these children into their homes, was to disciple these children and teach them about the love of God. The first century church, I don't know if you guys know this, God is bringing us back to that first century church. When not one of them had any needs because they were so in love and infatuated with Jesus Christ, he was the solution for everything. And the world took note. We have that opportunity. And that's why I call foster care a ministry. Because as it also says in Psalm 68:6, God sets the lonely in families. And that's what a foster care ministry is all about.
The Bible says that the earth groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. And I think a lot of times it's that we haven't responded to the groaning of our society the way that the early church did. The early church saw the needs, the groanings of their era, and they spoke to those things. They ministered to those things. I believe that the world is going to take note as we begin to solve problems that are very real problems in the world today with the power of God and with the love of God. And so I think that that's so important for us to see needs like this and see real problems like this and be the answers, be the hands and feet of Jesus. What would Jesus do if he was living in 2021 on the earth? What would his ministry look like? And so we have to continually ask ourselves that question. What would Jesus do? What would God have me do in this moment? What am I the answer to that's a problem that's in society right now? What issue are we having in our nation that the church is a solution to? Because I believe the church is the solution to all these problems that we see. It's about God's people getting together and coming up with solutions.
Right. And just to kind of elaborate on that, like, this is how easy it is. Simple, I should say. This is how simple it is for the church, the loving church that is the bride of Christ. Here's how easy it is for us to be the solution to the specific foster care crisis. In the nation, there are about 400,000 kids in the child welfare system. In Florida, there's just north of 22,000 kids. In Broward, there's north of 1,100 kids. In this zip code, there's 26 children, based off of the numbers we pulled from last year, that have been made orphans, if you will. And I know that term, we can talk about that term a little bit, but for the biblical sense, that's what the numbers look like. Do you know that the number of local churches outnumber kids in foster care? Let that sink in for a second. So what's the math on that? If every church took in one child, there would be no more foster care. If not even to say if multiple foster families came out of one church. No, if one church took in one child, there would be no more foster. And you know who would get the credit? It would be Jesus Christ. This was never meant to be, yes, glory to God. This was never meant to be an issue of the government. This is a kingdom issue. This isn't a government of the world issue. This is the government of the kingdom of heaven issue. Because in that government, I don't know about you, but in that government, I know there are solutions. In that government, there is healing. In that government, there is reconciliation. In that government, there is no COVID. In that government, there is no lack. That is the kingdom of God. And Jesus says very specifically, pray, pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done and earth would look like heaven. Wow. That is the solution. I believe very honestly that that is the solution. Now, let me just elaborate on this. Like the child welfare terms of foster care, it's a different type of ministry because it's not just the actual act of adopting, right? At Four Kids, 40 to 50% of our cases end up in adoption. We have right now, from the beginning of when the ministry was founded about 25 years ago, we have about 700, north of 700 adoptions, and we've served over 30,000 kids. But the goal of foster care is reunification. It's to strengthen the family that has brokenness so that that child can go back with the biological parents. That is the main goal of foster care. In some cases, when that family is deemed not fit to care for the child, then that child becomes available for adoption. But our goal, just as Jesus' goal, is a ministry of reconciliation that includes the adoption spirit.
Yeah, so good. That's so good. So you've touched a little bit on this vision. Could tell us a little bit more about the vision of Four Kids and the vision that God has given you with how we're to bring a solution.
Absolutely, man. So Four Kids, 25-year-old ministry next year stands for Hope, Homes, and Healing. That's what we believe the call of God is, to provide hope. Sounds pretty good, right?
Yeah, I like it already.
Homes and healing. There are different ways that we do that. We have a therapeutic arm. So we have Christian therapists that believe in the power of God that are going into the work, sitting with families, sitting with children, and ministering to them with a knowledge of how the mind works. We have homes, foster homes, that we are taking these children in, loving on these kids. And in those homes, there are different types of homes. There are sibling homes. There are specialized homes. There are homes for children who have aged out of foster care. There are homes for mothers who have not had their children yet and are in a crisis pregnancy. We have this full spectrum of homes to provide. And that healing component of finding people who know and love Jesus to be on our staff and to be from the churches that are loved, to be volunteers. These are the people that release the Spirit of God. These are the people that release the spirit of adoption. These are the people that release true healing into the world. A home for every child is what we stand for as a ministry. A home for every child, whether it's the biological home, whether it's a safe home, it's a foster home, or whether we're strengthening that home by preventing kids from coming into foster care, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But that's the vision of Four Kids. My personal vision in that, as Pastor Josh said in the beginning, let's end foster care. Let's just end the thing. You know, in the 1700s in Britain, there was a man, William Wilberforce, and he is attributed to ending slavery in that time. So if something that was as common as slavery back then, even from biblical times on to then, right? If something that was as common as that was ended because God shared his heart with somebody, why can't we end foster care? Why can we make that there's no more orphans, right? I don't know. I believe that, man. I believe that.
I love bold visions. But there's this expression in culture and in life, when good people stand by and do nothing, then evil prevails, right? So that bad things happen when the good people stay on the sidelines. What happens if the big C church doesn't step up?
I think more of that, the orphan spirit that we talked about that embodies a lot of fear, confusion, anxiety, I believe that that is perpetuated. You know, and there's one example that, you know, we all personally know. But let me get into some statistics, right? 60% of those who have been human trafficked, and human trafficking is a big deal. I would say it's one of the biggest societal issues we have. 60% of those people have had a run in foster care. 70% of inmates in our jail systems came from the foster care system, or at some point in time in their life were in foster care. 80% of inmates on death row came out of foster care. Now imagine, what if while they were in foster care, they encountered someone, oh man, they encountered someone that had the love of Christ? And it might not even be that you're the most articulate or you can speak to them or break through. You may just be able to look at them and break down the generational curses because you carry the spirit. You may be able to smile and love them, and that breaks something, and they don't end up on death row. They don't end up being trafficked. They don't end up being an inmate. We carry such, my God, a power. We don't even realize it. The church is a sleeping giant. We are the most resourced church in all of history. If we can get our stuff together, link arms, and go after in unity, there is nothing that we cannot do as the church. I better stop.
So there's a lot of ways to bring solution. And so I just want to talk about that because for some people here today, it's going to resonate on different levels. So let's just talk about that because I want to end with a prayer for families. Yes. And a prayer for the children in our region and the prayer for the families that are here and the prayer for the families that are in our region. But before we get to that, what ways can Hope United partner with this vision?
Absolutely. And you said it. The most paramount thing I think can be done is prayer. On our knees is where the battles are really won. Jesus gave us this vehicle of prayer. And I didn't even tell you that. When I came to Four Kids, I'm not taking credit for this. I'm just saying that when God puts something on your heart, you've got to do something about it. When I came to Four Kids, we were a praying ministry. We would pray with all of our families. We would pray before our meetings. But the Lord was like, we need to increase prayer at Four Kids. And from that day 3 years ago, we have had a consistent prayer ministry every day. We are praying for at least an hour. Prayer is the first thing. We can conquer anything in prayer. So I ask y'all, get involved with prayer. We've got some prayer cards out there that have some things you can pray for during the week. And expound on that. Be with the Holy Spirit as He leads. Maybe He'll give you a vision of the one child that you're praying for, that your prayers are gonna thwart the enemy's plans for their life and are going to propel them into the destiny that God has for them. The second thing is become a foster family. And I know that not everybody is called to be a foster family. Let me just, unless you guys are. But if you become a foster family, it's a very practical thing. And I know some of you have this burn and this itch inside of your soul that you want to do something monumental for the kingdom of heaven. You're not just satisfied with normal Christianity. You want your life to be turned upside down so the life of someone can be turned right side up. That is foster care. That is it's not an easy thing. It's not. But Jesus tells us about our time here on earth. He never said it was going to be easy. What He did say is His yoke and His burden is easy and light. And this is a beautiful space. It's literally being a local missionary in your backyard to care for someone like this. The third thing is to support a family who is fostering. We call that FAM, the Family Advocacy Ministry. Wrap around them with very practical things: prayer, meals, babysitting. If you are involved with these families in a capacity as such, the numbers of retention. So every year we lose 50% of our homes. So every year we're recruiting 50% more homes. If you have a support mechanism of church folk wrapped around the family, those numbers go from losing 1 out of every 2 to retaining 9 out of every 10. Big jump. Supporting a foster family. Lastly, we were praying about, okay, God, what if you answered every prayer? What if we got a home for every child? What then would we do? And the Lord said, prevention. Prevent children from coming in to foster care by strengthening the families who have broken areas. Because, listen, when I was in child protection, I saw some egregious things. And I wanted to make that person the enemy. But the Lord said, no, they're not the enemy. They're a broken person. There's a ministry that we are aligned with that's a national ministry called Care Portal. Care Portal here in Florida has partnered with the Department of Children and Families. The Department of Children and Families, which is the government, sends us the people who have this brokenness. They might need a crib. They might need a bed. They might need help with an FPL bill. They might need groceries. But it goes in as a vetted referral from the government and is sent to the local church. Think about that. So at this person's point of weakness, when they are there, there's a probability that they may lose their children if there's not some outside help. The church comes, knocks on the door, brings a crib, brings groceries, helps cover an FPL bill. In that person's mind, at their deepest, darkest moment, the church is at the door saying, we love you. We got you. You're not going to lose your kids. You're going to be able to do this. There's a community here to love you. We are here. Jesus, representatives, his hands and feet are here to love on you. That's the third thing.
When you were saying that, I was thinking about the scripture that says, I stand at the door knocking. And man, if we're to be his hands and feet, we have to find a way to be at the door knocking. At people that are at that place of brokenness, knocking on their door, being at a place where we're knocking on people's hearts that are broken. So that's beautiful. We have all these opportunities. And thank you so much for sharing your heart, sharing your own journey, sharing what God is doing in your life. And from the moment we sat down and we had lunch, we'd known each other a little while before lunch, but we started to talk about these things, and I don't know, it's just God has always given Pastor Kren and I a heart for the family and for children, and I think this is so close to the heart of God. Let's come and pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, that in this season, God, that you would increase your love in us. God, that we can show this spirit of adoption. And maybe if we're broken today, there's something missing or lacking or empty inside of us, God, that we can experience your spirit of adoption today, right now, that we would know who we are. We would begin a journey of deeper connection with God the Father. Lord, so I thank you, Lord, for what was spoken today. And I know it's resonating with many of us on different levels. God, I thank you, whatever level that we find ourselves on, God, that we would be obedient to whatever it is, whether it's prayer, whether it's to be a support to a foster family, to be a foster family, to be an answer to these portal needs. God, thank you that you would make it clear for us as a church and clear for us as individual believers how we can be the answer to very real problems in this day and age. God, and we cover all of our families here with prayer. God, that you would encourage the moms, encourage the dads, encourage the kids. Father, strengthen the homes that are represented here. And God, we as a family agree for those families that are in our region, God, that are lost or broken or hurting today. God, we pray that you would bring reconciliation and restoration to families all across our region. If there's children that are hurting, that are broken, that are needing a father figure, a mother figure, a foster family, God. Father, I pray that you would give them a way of escape. Give them a way, Father, for their needs to be met, for them to be safe, for them to be whole. God, we thank you, Lord, for your love. God, it's your love that directs us. It's your love that motivates us. It's your love that empowers us. It's your love, God, that's our banner, Father. So we thank you, Father, that you would speak things into our heart, God, that we would understand there's action behind our faith. Faith without works is really not alive. But God, when we put works with our faith, God, there's a whole new life that comes alive inside of us. And we sense that spiritual satisfaction of doing what you've called and created and predestined for us to do. So we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Can we give a big, big hand for Minister Andrew Holmes?
Thanks again for listening to our podcast. To hear more messages like this, make sure to subscribe and check out our podcast channel for other episodes. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate it and share it with friends. For more info or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. Remember, in Christ Jesus, we are one family in faith.